When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Stevie Nicol and Kieran Gibbs. We'll kick things off at Stamford Bridge in the third round of the FA Cup. Oh, this was a tough watch in the first half. Chelsea, though, did improve after the half-time break, in the end beating Preston North End by 4-0. And this is what Mauricio Pochettino had to say after the match.
It's a very good win. I think It's true that the first half a little bit disappointed because I seen we started to sloppy and I think so soft, and yes, I was disappointed. I told the players on the half time that we need to increase and to match the energy of Preston. Second half I think was a completely different game. I think we dominated and created the chances and fully deserved the victory.
Because in the first half, their wing backs pushed you.
Yeah, but I think we show lack of desire, lack of, you know, yes, so disappointed because I think we were talking about to match the energy and the desire. I think they were better than us in these areas. And yes, I was really, really, really disappointed. But after we increased our level, I think we started to play, and I think we started to deserve to win the game.
Former Chelsea defender Frank Leboeuf is with us. Frank, 4-0 against Preston. All is well in the world with Chelsea. They're going to want to win everything now.
Yeah, according to the result, yeah. But according to the first half, no, for sure. It's funny that Mauricio Pochettino started his post-game conference saying saying that he's a little bit disappointed, and finishing like a minute after saying that it was really disappointing. So it's what I felt the first half. I said, what the hell is going on? Mm. Nothing is working. He was talking about the lack of some maybe organization, but there was a lack of everything. Lack of commitment, lack of involvement, lack of technique. They had only two chances with Palmer and Sterling the first half, but otherwise it was appalling. And we have to recall it's against Preston, North End, which I think is 15 in the table in the championship. So it says a lot about the inconsistency of Chelsea. Second half, it went well because of the talent of the players, but also because of the inexperience of defenders that I saw on the Broya's goal, on the Thiago Silva's goal as well, where you see that they don't follow their strikers or the opponents, let's say, and it's why they conceded the goal. But at the end of the day, yeah, everything is good. I mean, it's a big target for Chelsea this season because with the Premier League, they have nothing to get. They won't be relegated. They're not going to get Europe. So if they can get the FA Cup or the Carabao Cup, that would be nice.
They're good players, Stephen. You look at the starting 11 he puts out, that's a strong side on paper. Yeah. How can you turn up and play so poorly for that first half?
Well, let's be honest, it wasn't a huge surprise. We've seen performances like this from Chelsea all season and all last season. You know, the biggest problem is they don't have any chemistry in the team. You know, you watch City and you watch Liverpool at their best, it's all one and two touch. You never see that with Chelsea. Mm. Everybody's having three and four touches and then stopping and looking up to see what's happening. There's no, it's not fluid. And they do actually, for some strange reason, every single time they step on the field, they do get chances. It just so happens that the second half, when the chances came along, they took them because previously they hadn't been taking them. And so when you look at 4-0, it kind of, it doesn't really tell you the whole story. It tells you that the second half they were good, but it tells you they've still got a lot of work to do because it was same old Chelsea in the first half.
Kieran, how do you get that chemistry? How can you get this team playing more as a team?
I mean, it's difficult, right? They've brought in, what, over 30 players over the last 18 months. any team does that in the world, you're gonna struggle. It's going to take time, which is why I'm so surprised that Chelsea have done that and also combined it with bringing in players that are so young. Like, you just don't associate Chelsea as those, you know, if you look back over the eras of successful Chelsea teams, you've always got half the squad that are very experienced, you know, solid players that are that know how to win games, you know, and this new Chelsea look is probably just, you know, new for everyone to see, and it's going to take time to get used to. But the only hope I have for Chelsea is the manager. I think he.
But what have you seen that he's done so far this season that's given you hope?
Well, I mean, I think the thing what he needs to do, you know, when they go into the transfer window next, is actually just bring in two or three really experienced players that have been there and done it. And then he can lean on.
But if he's such a great coach, why can't he get the best out of these players?
He's just got so many to deal with. These types.
Well, bringing in more isn't going to help.
No, but older players and more experienced players. I think that if he can get, you know, two or three in that can help and spread the load. He can't do it all himself, and he's got so many similar
players.
You can
lead the horse to water. Is that the correct saying, Daniel?
Well, yes.
You can make it drink it.
But surely a coach's job is to show you how to drink it.
Well, exactly, but some players will nod their head when you tell them something and you think they've got it, and then as soon as the game starts, it disappears. And generally, that's what happens with younger players. And oh, guess what? Chelsea's got a squad full of young players.
Right.
That, you know, when we talk about having experience, a lot of times when you're experienced, you do things without even thinking about it. You just don't think about it. You've got a majority of this Chelsea side who are still learning the trade.
Yeah.
They're still learning the trade, basically. But unfortunately for them, the expectation is way above where they are right now.
No Nico Jackson, of course, he's off for the African Cup of Nations. Is Broyer the answer, Frank?
Well, he's the only one, you know, and you have to believe that he can do the job. But no, I would say that he's still raw. He still needs sometimes to adjust and to get better and to get some experience, you know. What the guys were saying is completely true. You know, as long as you have only young players and you don't have the experience around you, you're going to suffer. It's going to take time to adjust. And it's the same with Broyer. It's getting a little bit better because Raheem Sterling is having a good season right now, and he's showing a little bit the way of being successful and how to score goals and how to surprise the opponent. Now, hopefully, Broyer is going to get something out of it, but he's not the same type of player. But at the end of the day, Jackson is not there, but Jackson hasn't proved anything yet as well. And Broyer is the only one. Nobody else is going to come because that's the reality of it. No big striker wants to come to Chelsea. Like it was at the time, like 6 or 7 years ago with Arsenal, or three years ago, or now for Manchester United. You won't have the big players because you don't have a good enough team, and you're not sure to get into the Champions League next season. So big strikers will never come. So you will have to strike to suffer and go for your training system, which doesn't suit anybody, and not sure it's going to work for the success you want to have.
And we saw the odds there, obviously, to win the FA Cup, Chelsea third favourites. Those odds will definitely change tomorrow, of course, when we know either Arsenal or Liverpool will be eliminated. Have they got a fighter's chance in this, Stevie?
Oh, they've got a fighter's chance.
You wouldn't trust them, though, would you?
No, that's why I'm surprised that they're third. I mean, the truth of the matter is, this side's not any further forward than it was at the start of the season. Mm. We're in the second part of the season. Half the season's gone, and there really isn't an awful lot of difference. Maybe the one difference is Cole Palmer. You know, people are talking about Sterling doing this and that, but Cole Palmer, for me, really is the one bright spark for Chelsea that I think could maybe take them somewhere. Maybe take them to close to the final of the FA Cup, because right now they look like a cup team. They look a team that has talent, and when you've got talent, you can win one-off games.
Right.
As far as the league's concerned, they've got no chance of getting anywhere close to Europe, in my opinion. But it's a cup competition, and with the names on the back of the jerseys and the talent they have, It's possible, but they shouldn't be third favourites.
Speaking of cup competitions, of course, they're in the semi-finals of the Carabao Cup. We've got that exclusive here on ESPN+. Plus, a reminder that both of those will be coming up this week. They're over two legs as well. It starts with Middlesbrough taking on Chelsea. That's at 2:30 on Tuesday, followed by Liverpool against Fulham on Wednesday. Meanwhile, the early game on Saturday, much anticipated derby between Sunderland and Newcastle, didn't really live up to expectations. In the end, it was a comfortable victory for Eddie Howe's side as they won by 3-0. And Kieran, obviously, this is a massive bonus for Eddie Howe's side. Given the pressure that was building on them and the run that they'd had, you go up against Sunderland, but in the end, it wasn't even a contest, was it?
Yeah, no, but he won't be thinking about that. Bragging rights is all that matters in that type of game. So that can really, you know, change a season round. You know,
really?
Especially when he's needed it. Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially at the City of Newcastle. It's like they just live and breathe it. And so they would have that would have been hyped up a lot, that game.
Yes.
In the North East. So
it's kind of one of those games that on before it, considering the run you're on, you look at it and you go, oh, we could do it.
Not now, yeah.
But then now that you've produced what you did and won in a canter, you're like, that was a good one.
The rest of it, yeah.
What would you do if your manager kept insisting you play out from the back against superior opposition like that? Is there anything players can do, almost take it into their own hands and go, look, we're just sitting ducks here?
I mean, did the manager really ask them to play out?
Well, he must have done. They would have thought, like...
Yeah, I find it strange that in a game like that, you know, it's a great chance to get the fans behind you, a club like Sunderland in the situation that they got themselves in, to really, like, you know, make it difficult for Newcastle and play a classic old school way.
Long ball, elbows out.
Get it up to the front man and get runners off him. Stevie disagrees.
I think this is going to be
he wanted to see some tiki-taka. Yeah.
It's a football snobbery coming out at its finest. I can't have anybody saying that I'm a dinosaur and I play the long ball. I can't have that. I'd rather lose 3-0 in Newcastle than anybody say that our team doesn't play football. I mean, how stupid.
How much do you watch this?
That's exactly what it is, by the way.
Right.
It's complete and utter football snobbery. With that team, they should have understood how far behind Newcastle they were going into this game.
Yes.
And you have to cut your cloth accordingly. And that means that you don't encourage a team that are far superior to you and who you know will close you down quickly and put you under pressure. You don't play into their hands unless... it's the old, I'll take responsibility. Don't you worry, if it goes wrong, I'll take responsibility. Well, guess what? You can take responsibility for being out the FA Cup, because that was just, in my opinion, ridiculous. The tactics were just completely and utterly wrong.
Frank has said, as Stevie said, obviously if Newcastle were flying, this game wouldn't even be worth talking about. But because they've had that run of recent losses, it was important, wasn't it, to go up against your rivals and get this win. It will give them a boost.
It was crucial. I think it would have been a disaster as they lost that game. And I think to win, give a boost, give the confidence maybe back as well, and show that the level that you pretend to be is might be the right level, and you have the right to believe in your future. So it's great win for Newcastle, and it's I want to say that I don't understand. I'm with Stevie with that. We might be dinosaurs of football, but how come you want to give so many gifts to your rival and go back home and you say, well, we lost because we tried something nice. We tried to take on players. We tried to make passes, and we were silly, and we've been smashed back in the face. And Newcastle did what they had to do. They put the temper, they put the pace, and they put their skills. And Sunderland didn't do anything. And for the Sunderland players, it's going to be hard. Hard to understand that they have so much to do before maybe being at the same level that Newcastle is right now.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Just a reminder, the FA Cup continues on Sunday. Plenty of matches for you. We will have studio coverage around Shrewsbury against Wrexham. That's at 8:30. And then our focus will turn very much to what was happening in North London, Arsenal against Liverpool. Monday, meanwhile, it's Wigan against Manchester United. Let's talk in more detail, shall we, of that big game between Arsenal and Liverpool. Reminder how things look in the Premier League. 5 points separate them. Both teams going in different directions, really, over Christmas. A great run for Jurgen Klopp's side. Meanwhile, the same can't be said for Mikel Arteta. The bookies have Arsenal, though, as favourites going into this tie. They feel the home advantage will pay dividends. And, of course, a reminder that we've got some FA Cup winners on our panel today. There you are. Steve is in black and white because it was so long ago.
Cheers. Thanks for that.
Kieran celebrating.
Pathy news.
Sorry?
Was that pathy news?
People don't know what that is, Steve.
Oh, exactly.
Frank LaBeouf is angry because we didn't show a picture of him winning the cup, but there we are. Tough. You only won it once. I think, Lee, you won it three times.
Twice.
Each?
Three, yeah.
Three?
Oh,
yeah.
Frank said twice.
Frank won it once, you won it three times. There we go.
Not twice. I won it twice.
All right, Frank, calm down.
Be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any World Cups? No. Right. Okay.
But you know what? Sometimes it's better to not have a pitcher. And I'm thinking about Stevie right now.
Wow.
Cheers, Frank.
There you go.
I'm the model Frank.
Oh, are you?
Let's just remind you, shall we, of how these teams have got on over recent weeks. We, of course, saw them face off only a couple of weeks ago. Great game, wasn't it? Liverpool against Arsenal. 1-1 is how it finished in that tie. And at that stage, actually, we thought Arsenal would have the momentum going on for the rest of the season. Meanwhile, they've only won the once, actually, when these two teams have met in the last five games. So how does that affect everybody's predictions? Let's take a look at who everybody is going for. Kieran is going for his old. You going for Arsenal, Kieran?
Yeah.
I'm going for Arsenal. Stevie's going for Arsenal. Frank's going for the draw. Why do you think Arsenal are going to win this, Stevie?
Well, because I'm convinced that it's not going to be Liverpool's first team.
Well, it definitely won't be because there's no Salah.
Yeah.
Szoboszlai's out.
Yeah. But, I mean, let's face it, if there was a cup final tomorrow, Gravenberg wouldn't play. Kelleher wouldn't play. I don't think Elliott would play. I mean, Kwanzaa, I don't think would play. I think all those players are going to play in this game.
Right.
Because, and the reason I think that is because Klopp's history in the third round of the FA Cup is he doesn't play the first team.
Right.
And I don't see it changing, particularly with the Carabao Cup semi-final coming Wednesday as well. And that's why I think you have to have Arsenal as favourites, because I think Arsenal's going to play the first team. You know, they've got one win in the last six.
Mm-hmm.
You need to win games to get everybody going again. And this would be a great game for everybody at Arsenal to win. And that's why I think he'll play his first team. So that's why I don't think Liverpool will win this game.
What's gone wrong, Kieran, over the last couple of weeks?
I mean, listen, I feel like they've been on the back of some controversial...
Oh my God.
Results
a little bit. What was controversial in the Fulham defeat?
No, the Fulham defeat.
What was controversial in the West Ham defeat?
No, the Fulham, the ball going out.
Oh my God. Don't start, Matt.
Listen, the Fulham game, I agree. You know, you could argue that Fulham actually deserved to
to win.
Well, they definitely deserve to win.
But, you know, I think the West Ham game, you know, Arsenal didn't perform as bad as they did in this one.
So why did they perform so badly in this one, given that you had that West Ham result, given you had the opportunity to bounce back and impress?
I mean, I don't think we've seen the best of Declan Rice recently, as we did see, you know, at the start of the season. And I think that the middle of the park for Arsenal has been their strongest, you know, point, with Partey as well and Xhaka last season. I think that that really was, you know, the stem of the team and the brain of the team. And I think that when that's lacking a little bit, it can affect, you know, other areas of the pitch.
But still, you look at your star, Saka. What's he done recently? Yeah, Odegaard's not performing. Martinelli.
Yeah, the front three, they haven't hit the heights that they did last season. And that's the difference, you know, that we see with the extraterrestrial players in Mo Salah. They don't let it go two or three games without scoring or affecting the game. But that, having said that, I think that that's not why Arsenal aren't at the heights of last season. I think the biggest thing for me is Granit Xhaka. I think he
but
just...
he's gone, Kieran.
No, I know,
he's
but
gone.
I'm just
you spent 100 million on
why.
Kai Havertz.
You don't like Kai, do you?
I've got no opinion about Kai.
Actually, who does?
I just feel that, well, Craig would describe him quite well as a passenger. What does he add to this team? How does he make this team better?
Yeah, I think it's difficult because he came in at a time where Arsenal and probably Granit Xhaka had his best season. And he's tried to fill that hole and it's just not quite working out at the moment. Whereas last season, they were unstoppable in the middle of the park. And listen, he is chipping in, and he has chipped in at times this season. But it's difficult to reach the heights of last season. That's
what does he add?
Well, he adds goals. I mean, how many?
He's had a few goals. But what else does he do? I mean, look at Liverpool. You know, we're talking about Arsenal not being at their best. They were lucky against Liverpool. They get completely outplayed against Liverpool. And part of that reason was the middle of the park. He does nothing in the middle of the field to compensate. You know, you're talking about how well Xhaka did. Well, Xhaka did well because he did get forward, but I'll tell you what, he did a lot of work in the middle of the park defensively.
Yeah.
He can't do that job.
Yeah.
He can't do that job. And so, as Craig said, he's a passenger, certainly in big games.
Yeah.
You know.
Mikel needs to work out still, you know, what his best position is. He's not a DM. He's not a DM.
But surely when you're making that acquisition, when you're buying someone with that sort of price tag, you already have a plan.
Yeah, but I don't think that he actually thought that, you know, for instance, Partey, I would have preferred Partey and Rice in the middle of the park. And I think that that's what originally he set out to do. But obviously, you know, we've been missing Partey for a while now. And I think that that's such a big miss for the boys this season. I think it looks completely different if he's in the team. And then you can afford to play Havertz further up the pitch and get in on the end of things. That's where, you know, I originally think that Mikel saw him. And, you know, he's had to fill in a little bit of a deeper role.
When you went
role.
Back for the Arsenal-Brighton game, did you see Mikel again? Wasted some money there, didn't you?
What's the dog?
Listen, we're still only halfway through in
no,
the season.
No, of course.
There's still a long way to go.
There's many more issues as well. But
yeah,
it seems
and I think games like tomorrow can, you know, this is a bigger game for Arsenal
most
than it probably needed to be.
Yeah.
But it is at home, and cup games at the Emirates can really shift the momentum of the club. So I'm optimistic for tomorrow.
Given the disappointment of last season, how much is that affecting the crowd and their attitude given what's happened over the last few weeks?
Well, I went to the Brighton game and it didn't seem affected at all.
Right.
I thought the boys were brilliant. They were relentless in attack. The crowd were behind the boys. I didn't go to the West Ham game, but I imagine it was a slightly different atmosphere. But, you know, from the Brighton game that I saw, it looks like the fans are still really behind the club. I mean, listen, when you're going to... If they've lost two on the bounce, and any big club, there's always a blow-up in scrutiny when there's three losses on the bounce at any big club. So it is a big game tomorrow for Arsenal.
Frank, you're the only one who doesn't think Arsenal are going to win.
No, because I think it's not all black or white. You know, I would say that Arsenal needs to rebound, and they will. And I think Mikel Arteta is going to use the first team and all the big players. But I think Liverpool is going to rest some players, and they're going to, of course, miss Szoboszlai and Salah. So I would have said that Liverpool would have the advantage if they would have played with the best team. So therefore, because they're going to miss some players, like two, three players, maybe he's going to rest all the players. I'm talking about Jurgen Klopp. I see a draw because Arsenal is struggling so much right now that I don't see them winning even against a lower efficient Liverpool team.
Well, there you go. Just a reminder, and Arsenal against Liverpool will be live on ESPN Plus tomorrow. It's an 11:30 kickoff. Our studio coverage around that game with Stevie, Kieran and Craig will be at 11 a.m. What a match that should be. Remember, if it's a draw, there will be a replay between those two sides at Anfield.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Meanwhile, Timo Werner, eh? Red Bull have said that he's more than welcome to go out on loan. This is a player who's been struggling to get any sort of game time for Red Bull this season, hence these disappointing stats, just the 2 goals in 14 games. The club that's targeting him in particular is Tottenham Hotspur. Do you like this, Steamy?
If I'm Timo Werner, I love that.
Right.
But you got to question whether he's going to be able to produce anything. I don't think it's a bad idea from Tottenham. I mean, I think it's a win-win. Because nobody expects anything from Timo Werner.
Right.
A guy that's not playing, a guy that when he was at Chelsea, at the end, was more than happy just to go back to Germany. And Chelsea were more than happy for him to go. So I really think this is a win-win, because if it goes wrong, everybody thinks it's going to go wrong. I don't think he's going to add too much. So, yeah, it's great for Timo Werner, but for Tottenham, it's a gamble.
Yeah.
But I think it's a gamble worth trying.
Do you agree, Frank?
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I don't see why they would get him. I'm talking about Spurs. Because I don't think he's going to bring anything. We saw him playing for Chelsea and it wasn't effective. And then he came back to Leipzig and had a good season last season. But now he's showing that the guy is not there. And some people have hoped that he would be the striker that Germany needed. Like Havertz, that we thought would be the top player in the middle of the park. And those two players have shown why Germany is not at the top anymore. And some people have planned something for them where they're not at the level that they were expecting to be. I think it won't bring anything to Tottenham, but at least they can try. If it doesn't work, that might be the end of Werner top level career.
That's a lot of positive spin on this. May as well do it. He's not going to do anything, but he might.
I mean, Spurs need to do something in the market, right, just because of injuries. Perisic is obviously out for a while. I think he fits the profile for Ange Postecoglou.
Yeah, Postecoglou, yes, well done.
I think he fits the profile for how he wants to play, high pressing, he's lively, he's a wiggler, he likes tight spaces, he can finish.
He's not starting though, is he? Is he just someone you throw on?
Kind of a trend, isn't it? Eric Dier, now we've got Timo Werner.
Okay.
See, all the things that you're saying there are things that he's done in the past.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's the past.
But he doesn't start ahead over Richarlison, does he?
No, absolutely not.
And that's still a problem because he...
And it's still... You can't rely on Richarlison, and Timo Werner is not starting ahead of Richarlison.
Yeah.
It's a complete and utter gamble. But, as I said, it's worth the gamble.
Yeah.
Because there aren't too many strikers around anyway. And you've got a guy who has been in the league, albeit not particularly successful. Everybody knows he's got some talent. Why not?
It could also be a Chelsea curse. You know, how many players have gone to Chelsea and it's not worked out? And
yep.
They've come back and all of a sudden a completely different player. Yeah,
that Salah done, boy, he's done all right, hasn't he? De Bruyne as well.
Not bad.
Meanwhile, of course, in that Spurs game, it's still a great goal from Pedro Porro. What a strike this was. Kieran, do you know anything like this from fullback? Back in the day, could you kick it that far?
Not with the right leg, maybe the left.
Yeah, definitely not with the right. What a finish.
Aye.
He's not going to hit them any sweeter than
that. And he knows exactly what he's doing here, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. The keeper doesn't even bother. And he doesn't even look that far away from it, the keeper, when it leaves his foot. But as soon as... Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Perfect.
Up and over.
So Spurs weren't great in this game. In the end, they just about crossed the line. Burnley had quite a few chances. Late on, of course, they had that big opportunity in Vicario. The Spurs goalkeeper not happy with Sessegnon at the end. I'm intrigued, Steve, like how you would cope if you've got your goalkeeper shouting this to you so publicly at the end of winning a match.
No, you don't do it. No.
This is a dressing room thing, isn't it?
Of course it is. Dressing room. And you just, again, you wonder. You know, Sessegnon... He's been around for a couple of years, but he's still a young player.
You think
it would have been Richarlison who would have done that?
I see.
Because if he had done that to Richarlison, I think we could be talking about something else. So, yeah, you don't do that on the field. 100% you do it in the dressing room.
How are you reacting?
I mean, listen, it depends. It depends on what he's... I'm not sure what he's saying to
me. I don't think he's saying you played really well. Well done.
No, but if there was a certain incident... If there was a certain instance where he's asking to do something and he's not done it...
Right.
You know, and he's given a bit of a rollicking.
This was the incident, wasn't it, late on?
Goalkeepers are always a little bit...
Yeah.
...crazy like that.
He just doesn't track his man. He steps out, obviously, there.
He's done nothing wrong, by the way.
Right.
Somebody's got to get across the front. So you cannot... Corners against, you cannot let any of the opponents get across the front of you. So if he's the nearest one to the corner, he's got to step in there.
Yeah, but he might.
So I don't know what he's having a go on for.
He might have been in a completely wrong position. So that might be what he's talking about.
Even so, you don't do that on the field. Come on, you don't do that. That's embarrassing for you. If somebody's doing that to you, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, especially he's been out for a long time as well, so you don't need that when you're coming back from...
Frank, is that kind of unwritten rule that you don't do that so publicly?
No, of course not. One of my goalkeepers would have done that to me. That we would have had a problem, you know, because yeah, you don't show off. You don't do that, especially to Sessegnon. I mean, seeing the action, I don't see Sessegnon guilty more than the others about anything. So why do you do that in front of the camera, allowing us to tell you that, Mr., you cannot do that to your teammate. You're embarrassing yourself and you're embarrassing your teammate. So go in the dressing room, say what you have to say in the dressing room face to face, but don't do that in front of the camera. That's disrespectful.
It's interesting because it reminds you of Onana in pre-season with Harry Maguire, who's obviously at the time was criticised by a lot of people. It's an easy target, Stevie, yeah? As you say. You wouldn't do that to one of the big boys.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there are certain things as professionals that you don't do, and that is getting towards the top of the list. You don't embarrass anybody on the field. If you have a problem with anybody, you do it in the dressing room. And it's really clear. This isn't a grey area. You don't do it.
Meanwhile, it looks like Jadon Sancho will be heading back to Borussia Dortmund. Kieran, Stevie said earlier in the week this will be a disaster. He hasn't played for long. He can't just find his form just like that. Do you agree with him?
No, I disagree. You see.
Don't listen to what this guy says, by the way. I never said that at all.
I heard you did.
I wasn't even here.
No, but you did say you can't expect him to hit the ground running he's at a new club.
Not at all. Absolutely not. It's going to take time. He's going to have to be training again with the first team. He's going to have to get acclimated with the pace of the game. He's going to have to get his touch. I mean, there's a whole host of things that have to be honed if you expect him
what
to play.
What time scale would you put on that?
Four. It would depend on what he's been doing since this all started. If he's been slacking and not bothering, then it'll take 2 months?
Blimmin' heck.
Well, because, you're talking pre-season.
Right.
You know, that's...
3 or 4 games.
That's why we have a pre-season which lasts about 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Because it takes you that long to get to full speed.
Do you agree?
Yeah, but I think he's done so well there. He did so well there. The fans love him. He's going to need some game time, definitely. It's been a long time since he's played. But listen, still a top talent. 23 years old, just seen it there, 23.
Are you surprised the situation has unfolded in the manner that it has?
Yeah, I am, but I just think with Ten Hag as well, like he had no choice, especially after the Ronaldo debacle. You can't let one player, you can't say one thing to one player and then go the other way against another. So it is a strange situation how it's unfolded. It's disappointing because I would have I really wanted to see him, thrive in the Premier League. English boy, local lad as well. It's tough to see. So I'm excited for him to move on and get a new challenge.
What do you think, Frank? Will this work?
Hopefully it's going to work, but I tried to put myself into the Sancho's boots, and I say, how will I feel after a club paying me 73 million to leave and come back, my head down, not producing what everybody was expecting me to do? And psychologically, it must be hard to accept that you go back where everything started. And he will have to be psychologically, mentally, strong. He will have to work very, very hard. Is he ready for that? I don't know. I had problems with the coach during my career, but I worked so hard that the coach couldn't put me out of the field. It wasn't what Sancho did, but he was forced to do that. And I talked to him straight after I left to Strasbourg, and he said, I would have loved to put you on the bench, but you were so good. Well, sorry, and to talk to me about me like that, but you were so efficient that I had keep you on the field. But that's what Sancho should have done.
Too good to drop.
That's what Sancho should have done to make sure he would have forced Ten Hag to keep him. 73 million for nothing.
Does this freshen up the Manchester United dressing room a little bit, that you don't have that kind of heaviness around, or does it make any difference?
I don't think it makes that much of a difference.
Right.
No.
No? Kieran, do you agree?
Not with United's problems.
Right.
But if it was one of the only problems, then yeah. But United have got way too much.
I think there's a difference, though, between Ronaldo and Sancho, though. You know, with Ronaldo, it's a different ball game. You're talking about probably the main guy, the main character in the dressing room.
Mm.
Whereas Sancho, from the time he got there, hasn't really produced. So the whole situation doesn't carry the same weight, not even close.
Well, you can see Jadon Sancho's return to Borussia Dortmund, if indeed it does go through, of course, on ESPN Plus throughout the campaign. We're at a long old winter break at the moment, but to keep up to date with all the latest transfer news and where Jadon Sancho will end up eventually, be sure to check out the website. And of course, it's a long old winter break, isn't it, for the German sides? But they will be back on Friday, Bayern taking on Hoffenheim. And then it's interesting on Sunday, isn't it, as we see Bochum take on Werder Bremen, Borussia Mönchengladbach against Stuttgart on Saturday, Augsburg against table toppers by Leverkusen. All those games live on ESPN+. Plenty of games then coming for you on Sunday, including Barca against Barastro. That game at 3 p.m. live on ESPN+. And we're all about the Spanish Super Cup then, midweek. Real Madrid, remember, this is semi-finals and leading to the final at the weekend. Real Madrid taking on Atletis, Barca against Osasuna. Both those games, 2 p.m. On ESPN2, respectively, on the Wednesday and Thursday, also available on ESPN+. Now, it's action in Italy today. Inter back to winning ways with a 2-1 victory over Hellas Verona. Big victory for them, of course, to stretch their lead at the top of the table. Just a reminder then how things stand. They are 5 clear of Juventus, who, of course, they do have a game in hand. Gab Marcotti will be joining us on the next edition of ESPN FC as we'll be reflecting on what happened in Italy over the next couple of days. That'll be 5 p.m. Eastern on ESPN+. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. But fear not, Frank will be back for extra time. Stevie and, what's your name? Kieran here as well. Be sure to stay with us.
Taking the heat off you.
Welcome in to the latest edition of Extra Time. Frank, Stevie, Kieran are with us. We showed a picture of Stevie and Kieran winning the FA Cup during the show to look ahead to Arsenal-Liverpool. Apparently, Frank has now WhatsApped our producer a picture of himself just so that we show that, just to make sure we know and remember that there he is, that he did win the FA Cup. So,
completely untrue. I never asked for anything. Thank you very much. Oh, I see. I see my son and my daughter just below me. Oh, lovely.
Are they really, Frank?
Thank you very much.
Just below you there? Oh, look at
that.
Yeah,
that's my daughter. Oh, yeah, look at them. Oh,
that's a beautiful.
That's my kid.
That's a brilliant picture, lovely, Frank. That's beautiful. Oh, that's. I'm surprised you could find those so quickly. Kieran's here, which is. But I heard you were late today for the Chelsea game.
No.
I definitely heard you were late for the Chelsea game.
Grassing on me again.
Were you?
What happened?
I can't believe that.
You have no respect for Chelsea, Kieran.
No, exactly. Just because it's Arsenal.
I wish I was late. I wish I missed the first half, to be honest.
Well, yeah. What happened? Unprofessional.
Sleeping?
Yeah, I slept in.
Wow. There you go. Oh, been told to move on. Well, Kieran, Stevie and Craig said in their day, they took cup games as seriously as league games, especially the FA Cup. What about your generation? How seriously did you take the FA Cup?
No, we took it seriously. I mean, we won it 3 times. You can't not take it seriously.
Right, Frank.
You know? No, we took it seriously.
Yeah.
We took it seriously. It was especially as a young player as well, it was your chance to get a game a lot of the time because it was such a busy schedule with the Champions League. We'd rest players a lot. So, you know, as 18 to early 20s, it was huge for us. Absolutely huge. Whenever you got a call up to play an FA Cup game, we took it real serious.
It was visually bad to see.
Dan, I'm sorry. Don't you think it's more the medias and maybe the coaches who take it less seriously?
Yes.
You know, where they put most of the time the B team because they don't want to tire some players. And the media, they
We're
talk
the media,
about
Frank.
It like
we
it was,
take it seriously.
No, you are the media. I'm a former player. I'm a pundit. So you are the media.
Yes, but we take it seriously. We led the show with it. We spent 40 minutes yesterday talking about Spurs Burnley.
I'm not talking about, especially about you. You're not the media overall, you know. You're one of the guys working with them for the media. But I'm saying that most of people in the press, they don't take it seriously like they used to be.
I
it
agree,
was a
Frank.
Priority before. And like the coaches, they put the beat in most of the time. They show to the people that they don't take it seriously enough for me.
Oh, what about him earlier, eh? It sounded like Burley. Oh, do we have to do all those highlights again? Have to see all those goals again? Oh, sorry, we have to show goals on a soccer show. It was visually bad to see Sunderland-Newcastle match in their striped jersey. As an ex-player, how important is it to get a better contrasting jersey? Did you have any problems with opposition that looked similar to Liverpool kits back in the day?
No, not at all. Never. I'll tell you what I did have a problem with, though.
when players at one stage used to be able to put tape around the bottom of their socks.
Okay.
So if my team was wearing white socks, for example, the opposition were wearing red, but they had all the bottom tape. You know, a lot of times your peripheral, you're only seeing legs.
Stevie didn't play with his head up, that's why.
you're only seeing, you know, you don't see the whole picture.
Right.
And so when you see the white, it could the make you way. Think that it's oh, one wow. of your own players. So I really hated that. And then eventually they stopped that. You weren't allowed to do that anymore.
Right.
Eventually you had to put whatever you put on your socks had that's to be the same colour.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting fact, Stevie.
Yeah, refs would stop you in the tunnel and say you've got to take it all off.
Oh, yeah, take it all off and that's it.
Yeah, nightmare.
As far as the strip, no.
No. Robbie Musto tells a story, doesn't he, of when he was playing, he had to ask to be taken off because he's colourblind. And he couldn't,
well,
he couldn't distinguish between his shirts and the opposition shirt. That shirt's that's a good excuse.
Wow.
That's right, isn't it? That's good. Why are you playing rubbish? what about you, Frank? Were there any opposition shirts that you didn't like?
No, that was never been an issue for me. I know that goalkeepers sometimes they thought about wearing something like white or yellow because it made the body being bigger.
Right.
But it reminds me that Sepp Maier, the black always suited German goalkeeper, was always in dark and always in black, and it was absolutely fantastic. But yeah, it's true. When you want to look big, you normally wear white.
I've got my Ronnie Moran head on again.
Okay.
So I remember
Ronnie Moran is Liverpool's assistant coach.
Yeah, he was. Well, see, Ronnie would never allow any of our goalies to wear a bright yellow or a bright white in certain conditions, because he always talked about when Liverpool beat Nottingham Forest on a dark, foggy night in a cup game, and Peter Shilton had a pure white top on. And he always said the reason that, I think it was Kevin Keegan scored the goal, and Keegan told him afterwards, he said, the only reason I knew where the goal was is because I just saw this pure white jersey and I instinctively knew. And so Ronnie, from there on, depending on the conditions, he would not let our goalkeeper wear a bright top in case it gave an advantage to
the opposition. It makes you wonder then, why do goalkeepers wear bright tops?
I don't know. I've heard other people saying, well, then the back four will know where the goalie is.
Right.
And again, Ronnie's answer would be, you better know where the goalie is, never mind if he's got a bright top on.
Yeah, Kieran.
I mean, just all these little things.
Sort it out.
That's Kieran's fault.
Frank, I didn't think you were on Twitter anymore, but somehow you've managed to send in a question. Has Frank ever been approached or worked as a model?
Oh.
Not with a bang on it.
Have you seen my face?
Well, yes. Yeah, that's true.
Well, I never thought I was handsome enough to pretend to be a model. I'm getting okay, you know.
What about the chocolate shirt?
I think I age.
Remember that chocolate thing you had on, Frank?
Excuse me?
The chocolate shirt.
Oh, yeah, the chocolate. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all right. But, you know, it was just for a charity. I wouldn't do that every year, you know, so it's all right. And I'm 50, I'm almost 56. Gonna have to calm down.
Oh, so, there you are.
That's all right.
Kieran, have you ever asked for a model?
No. I could see Frank in some Givenchy or like.
Well, this is the chocolate picture, by the way, that we're referencing.
Whoa! Oh, yeah.
What a man. What a man.
It looks like something from Troy.
Yeah. Looks all right, Frankie boy.
Oh, there you are. There you are. Stevie's a fan. Nice.
The Viking!
Okay, and we're going to move on.
The Viking. Jalous. You're so jealous.
Yes. For Kieran, do you believe a second fresh start can get Timo Werner back to the form of his 2019-2020 season? For that matter, does a second fresh start ever fully work for a position so reliant on confidence?
My answer is yes for Timo Werner, purely because of the manager and the team that he's going to.
What's the manager called again?
Postecoglou.
There you go.
Correct.
Say it with confidence.
Well done.
I think he is the perfect fit for a high-pressing team, an exciting team, a lot of movement up front, I think he can find his form.
Stevie, would a player like Richarlison lose confidence hearing that Timo Werner news, given his current form?
It's possible. Not knowing the guy, he looks quite a stubborn person. So it looks to me as though he'd be one of those guys that would go, all right, you're going to bring somebody in, are you?
Right.
Even though the manager will absolutely have had a word and said, look, we need Lush Young Song. We don't, you know, we need
it's pretty obvious.
More players, blah, blah, blah. But still, even though the manager says that to you, there's still a little thing in your head going, what if?
Well, yeah, of course.
So I think he'll be a stubborn type, Richarlison. He'll go, you know what, I'm going to do every single thing I can to make sure that this guy doesn't get on the field.
We talked about this when Hockey goes to Barcelona, how Lewandowski would react. How did you react, Kieran, when someone would come in who played your position?
I mean, you have to see it as a challenge. You have to see it as a challenge. And you also have to see it as that you're both playing for the same team as well. So, you know, you want to try and get the best out of the team, especially if, you know, there's so many injuries in Spurs as a team right now. They also might be able to play together. Richarlison can play out wide. Timo Werner's played out wide for Chelsea as well. So I don't think it's like a direct competition one for one with these two. I think that they can tinker fingers around a bit up the top. I think that's what he's going to do.
Did you ever see anyone get the hump or treat someone badly that came in? Like, that came in to take their position? Or is that just...
Nah, not really.
Because as you say, everyone's on the same page.
No, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I think with goalkeepers... Goalkeepers,
Shakira had a goalkeeper who didn't speak to him.
Really?
Yeah, since he arrived.
Yeah, but that's because it's Shaka.
Well, yeah, Shaka's so unlikable. Saw a photo of Maidstone United fans sitting in the bushes outside the stadium to watch an FA Cup match. Do you guys remember any football ground where fans can watch a match without actually being in the stadium?
Yeah, wherever I play.
Right, Vallecano does it, doesn't it? In Spain, obviously, you've got the block of flats.
You used to be able to do it at Ibrox in Glasgow.
Right.
Just when they were bringing the stadium up to new standards, there were gaps between the side and the back.
Really, yeah.
And so people could actually, for a little spell, but there are, I'm trying to remember. Generally, it's lower league clubs
where
you see that happening. I'm trying to think. There are a few, though.
Yeah, there are a few around. Frank?
I think.
Yes, two clubs. One I played for is Toulon when I was in the academy. For when you have the Stade Mayol, where the rugby team of Toulon plays, you have a big building and some people are renting the flats for big European game when Toulon plays against most of the time English big clubs in France. And also Guingamp, I remember playing with Marseille, whereas Guingamp you have like two kind of flats on the side where they're not that high, but because you have no stands on the corner, the people they can go on the balcony and watch the game. It's pretty amazing. It's funny.
Hey, nice freebies. Kieran, if Stevie wins the bet at the end of the season, the bet of course is that Manchester City will win the league over Arsenal. How will you pay him? Would it be a bag of 5,000 coins, a $50 bill, or 50 singles?
I'm definitely 50 singles. I might even give him cents.
Yeah, that's what he gave me.
Yeah.
He gave me, I've still got the big bag at home.
I'm gonna go 5,000 coins.
Yeah, 5,000 coins.
Look bolder than that.
There you are. Stevie would take that.
You can make it 10,000 if you want. You've got them enough.
Let's do double or quits then. Should we do a double or quits? I'll think of a double or quits tonight, and then if it is, I'll give you 10,000 coins. How about that? Oh. Halfway through the season.
I'd wait until maybe we're deeper into the evening.
Yeah.
Worst and best investment decision the lads have ever made. Oh my crikey. Surely Stevie has something golden.
No.
Did you invest in anything golden, Stevie?
They didn't turn out golden.
Oh no, what did you invest?
What are you talking about, invest?
Like, did you like buy a pub or invest in stock or, you know, do something with your money?
Yeah.
What did you do?
I'd rather not talk about it. It never ended well.
I don't even know this story, really.
Yeah, I lost a lot.
Oh, no. That's why you're here with me.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Why do you think Elsa would turn up to sit next to you?
Wow.
What bet did you put on?
I didn't know.
I wasn't a bet.
There you are, Kieran. What was a stupid thing you invested in?
I did get done once. Someone was knocking around houses, selling cutlery sets.
Right.
Selling cutlery sets.
Right.
And he was a guy, he said, I've got all of this stuff. I'm leaving back to France.
Okay.
I'm going across the water. I can't take all of these, you know, huge knives. And
right.
He said, it's amazing. He has a culinary company.
Okay.
He done me bad, and it was Christmas time, so I thought it's perfect. I can get the family,
right.
You know, a nice cutlery set.
Okay, what was wrong with it?
Oh, it was basically plastic.
How much did you spend on it?
Oh, it was north of £1,000.
Blimey, eh?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I ended up buying a couple of sets for the family.
Of course you did.
I was like, perfect. I don't have to go Christmas shopping now.
Yeah, it's some plastic forks. Frank, what about you?
For the worst, I invested in some drinks. Well, drinking supposedly very healthy drinks for kids at school, and I put down like $50,000 that I never saw anymore. After that, the guy disappeared and in fact said that he had no money anymore. So I let it go. Yeah. But on the best one, I invested on the first French betting company in France. And it really worth it.
All right. Okay. The worst one's a better story, like, Frank. We don't want to hear your stories of success. They're boring.
Congrats, Frank.
Well, you say worst and best.
No, but the worst is more interesting. I don't want to hear you bragging about buying stocks that have now made you very rich. Have you ever lost faith in a manager because you didn't believe he could develop you and help you become the player you wanted to be? Kieran?
No, but I couldn't say that under Arsene Wenger. It was my first coach after.
How hands-on would he be with you?
Have you ever? Oh, he was him and Pat Rice, and then Steve Bold, who I had in the youth team.
Right.
Steve, I have to give a lot of credit to as well, because he was the younger age, more from 14 to 17, 18. So, you know, they're crucial years coming up as a player. So they were really important for me, but I didn't have any ones at that age that I didn't like, to be honest.
What was it like when you were kind of making your way through that time and seeing players, obviously, that you'd all started together at 14, slowly but surely kind of drop off and you're kind of still going? It must be so strange, because you hear so many stories, don't you?
Yeah.
Of kids of that age getting cut or getting injured and like you kept going.
Yeah, it's crazy how quickly it changes, actually, because when I joined from Wimbledon when I was 14, you would have probably said that I was one of the bottom two or three in the team that would have had a chance of, you know, even having a career in the game, actually, to be honest. You know, at that age, you're not developed physically enough. Everyone develops at different times. And I was one of the smaller ones when I went there. And then, just from 17, well, probably 16, one good pre-season. And you get the opportunity to start training with the first team, and you know, you just keep plugging away and you get that chance, and then before you know it, you don't look back. And
when you make that step up, like Stevie always says, when you first introduce first team, it's like, keep it simple, don't make a mistake. Was that what's going through your head?
Oh yeah, big time. I mean, there was I played in a reserve game, and we played against Chelsea in a reserve game in Barnet, and Drogba was playing for some reason.
Oh, nice.
Like, and I was just, I don't know, I was 16 or 17. And he must have been coming back from injury.
Sure.
And I remember running backwards and turning around and just running into him. I ran into the back of him and just completely, like, fell to the floor. And he looked down and as though like a fly had swatted him. And he was just like, are you all right? And so when you make that big jump, it's pretty incredible how you know, especially not as a big player. I wasn't a big player. I was more agile and quick.
It's like the same build as me.
Similar to you.
Very similar, yeah.
Especially what I saw last year, you at the pool in LA.
And what a treat that was for you, Kieran.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable. You seen it?
Well, thank you.
And then what was the best bit of advice that Wenger gave you?
Best bit of advice... Oh, there wasn't anything in particular specifically that he said, but he did have a very unique way of giving you confidence in things that he would say, and the way he would be impressed with the way you trained, and the composure that he gives you, the way he makes you feel calm in, you know, high pressured situations was probably his best.
Right.
The best attribute that he had about him, you know, before your debut, before big games. He would have a unique way of not just telling me, but the team in general, of how to stay focused on, you know, what we actually wanted to do rather than think about the occasion.
So obviously, it wasn't a rant and a raver, like, come on, we can do this.
No, but when he did lose it, he lost it.
Did he?
Yeah. The very few times.
And how did you react? Because obviously, when a teacher gets angry in school, we all kind of laugh. Like, do you have to...
Oh, no. There's no laughing.
No? There's no giggling?
No. No laughing.
Stevie, have you ever lost faith in... have you ever lost faith in a manager?
No, you know, I think when you reach a stage of playing in the Premier League with an Arsenal or a Liverpool or whatever, and you go through being a kid, you know, we always talk about you're born with a certain amount of talent, you're just born with it.
Yeah.
I also think you're born with a football brain as well, because the only type of information I remember is the good stuff.
Okay.
I think you're born with an instinct.
You can almost filter it.
That you can filter it, and by the time it's gone through, all the nonsense, you don't take any notice of it. Because I don't know, I'm sure there's been tons of nonsense people have told you what to do.
Right.
And I don't remember any of it, but I can remember all the good stuff. So I think you're born with a football brain that filters, and the good things and the sensible things stay in your brain.
Frank, having played for a number of clubs in different cities, which city was your favourite to live in?
I really enjoy London because it's a beautiful capital, beautiful city, and lots of culture, everything. But I have to say that Strasbourg really surprised me when I arrived, and I stayed 5 years there, and I came back like a month ago to see the Christmas market. It's absolutely beautiful, and I encourage everybody, if you've never been to Strasbourg, to see that beautiful city. It's you have everything there, and it's not a big city, but everything was perfect. And in terms of football, they're crazy football fans, so always packed and in the stadium, let me know. Love the football, love the culture, love the food. Everything's perfect. Yeah, I really enjoy Strasbourg.
When Frank went back, he got a lot of attention, obviously, as a former player. And he was also dressed in his 98 kit carrying around the World Cup. He does that when he goes to other cities, just to make sure that people know. That is it. We are done. Thank you to Frank, Stevie and Kieran. We will be back tomorrow. Oh, there it is. Just one last time.
Signing out.
And if he's not in his France kit, he's in that. There is two outfits. So we'll be back tomorrow to reflect on Arsenal against Liverpool. Be sure to join us.